Okay. We are wrapping up our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We've spent, actually at this point in time, several months going through the verses. Not an exhaustive study, but we find ourselves now in the beginning of chapter 7. And I think I may just go ahead and finish out chapter 7. But beginning in verse 1, we have perhaps, you could argue, maybe the most well-known verse by people that don't want to be judged. I mean, I think we've all either in person had someone say this to us, or we've seen in a movie or a TV show or read in a book or something where someone says, "Hey, judge not, lest you be judged." It is the one verse that sinners know pretty well. And when a judgment is made against another, if that's the only thing they know, well, that's what their response is. The Bible says not to judge me. How dare you question what I'm doing? You're not supposed to be doing that. And so this verse is used to teach zero judgment should be made about others. Is that what Jesus meant, that we should not criticize or, well, fairly criticize or constructively criticize someone? Does Jesus mean here that we should just leave each other alone and let them be to their own devices? No, that is not what he's meaning. And so I want to look at this as that this interpretation that people want to apply to it, that we shouldn't be judging others in the word, is absolutely impossible based upon the context in which he is sharing it with us. So there are other verses in the New Testament that teach us to do that very thing. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "The spiritual person judges all things." 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13 says, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside." 1 John 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Galatians 2 verse 11 says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned." John 7, verse 24, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." That follows very closely after this verse we're focusing on this morning. And then, for good measure, I'll throw in Matthew chapter 7, 15 and 16. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." And so the scripture should make it very clear to us that we are to make judgments when necessary. In fact, this very text, Jesus is commanding that judgment is necessary because we are to determine if our brother or our sister has a speck in their eye. So this means we have to make some kind of determination to understand that they do. Instead, we must determine that Jesus does mean so we aren't violating this command. We have to understand when that is appropriate. And so with this whole paragraph that Gary read for us this morning, we should draw the proper interpretation of what is being meant here. And so in verses 2 through 4, he's providing the reason why that judgment shouldn't occur. And so Jesus taught us to not judge others because, as it says there, "With the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And so this explanation shows that Jesus is not speaking about rightly righteous judgments. Jesus is speaking about human judgments that have our own biases, our own interpretations, misconceptions about Scripture, possibly baked into them. And so the command should make us want to be fair with others. Basically, do you want God to judge you fairly and mercifully? Well, then that's how we should judge others. That's how the standard we should apply. Verses 3 and 4 help us understand that the problem that Jesus is dealing with. Jesus pictures a person who is able to see everyone else's faults, but is not able to, you know, look at their own. And it's very easy to judge others, but so many people want to judge, but don't want to have that applied back upon them. And so the illustration Jesus uses is kind of absurd on its face, but It's done to bring home this point. The speck that is in the eye of another person, it's literally a splinter. I read it's like when they would throw the wheat up, the chaff, it would be just this little small piece that would get into your eye that is irritating but not very noticeable at first glance by someone else. And so you're able to look at someone so closely, you can see this little piece of wheat chaff in their eye to criticize them about. But you're not noticing this huge log. And basically, I guess what it was meant, if you watch any home improvement shows, they want to take down a supporting wall. They said, well, we got to put in a beam. We got to put in some way to support the roof. That's what we're talking about. Something so large that it cannot be missed. But yet you yourself are ignoring that. And you are not accounting for that when you are then looking at others. Is that we fail to pay attention to ourselves. We fail to look inwardly. And in a word you see quite often, this is like in politicians and so forth, they'll say they lack self-awareness. What the politician is saying about their opponent easily applies to themselves, but they don't realize it. And so this is the very nature of being self-righteous. We condemn others, but justify or make excuses for our own activities in similar or in different ways, but yet are still sinful. But we have good reasons to do what it is that we are doing. And so we have a ready excuse to explain why it's okay for us to do something, but not so much for why that person is doing it. We apply to others what we may be unwilling to apply to ourselves. And so this just means you're judging someone without compassion or without understanding or without context of maybe what may be going on. And James speaks about this. He gives us a warning for not seeing ourselves who we really are. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, he says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like." We're being warned that we are not to look in the mirror and ignore what we see in that mirror, and then just go on and forget what has been made apparent to us by looking in that mirror. This is self-righteousness and it's arrogance, thinking that we don't need to address what we see when we look at ourselves. And so when we're looking in the spiritual mirror and we're looking in the Word and we're looking at what we should or shouldn't be doing, and we see that and we continue doing that, that is what James is talking about. We can't look in the Word and realize how we should live our lives and then totally forget what we read. And so we have to judge others while holding ourselves to the same standards. And so when we get to verse 5, Jesus clearly he makes it very clear that this is not the way we should be doing it, because what does he say there in verse 5? He calls these people hypocrites. You're hypocrites for engaging in this behavior, and he is 100% right. When we judge others in a way that we wouldn't ever consider judging ourselves, when we hold people to a different standard to which we're not willing to be held, then we are definitely being hypocritical, and we are a hypocrite. So the solution is what? Well, we have to look at ourselves before we look at others. We have to right our own ship before we can go and address others. Think about our own sin and where we're failing. Realize where we are struggling and where we are sinning, and take all this into account before we go jumping on someone else's faults. Before we confront them about their own shortcomings, we have to first judge our life by that same standard before we can go and talk about that by which we are judging others. And so we can properly understand with this in context the first two verses of this chapter. He's saying, do not judge with hypocritical judgment. Do you want people to find fault in your life? Do you want someone to bring up every mistake you make? Do you want to be nitpicked on every shortcoming in your life? No, of course not. I don't know that anyone would say that's how they want their life to be examined. Well, then, if you don't want others doing it to you, then that's what Jesus is saying. Don't be doing it to others to the point where you're just being that hypocrite that he says here in verse 5. Measure ourselves by the same judgment that you were wanting to so readily apply to others. This will make us not be so fast with our judgments. Now, this will keep us from making false judgments on others as well, and maybe, just maybe, we can lean on each other. If someone is struggling with the same thing you're struggling, instead of jumping on them and being hypocritical about it, maybe together you could work on overcoming that. Maybe you could recognize this person is struggling with the same thing or something very similar that I'm struggling with. We both have our faults in these areas. Perhaps we can help each other. Perhaps we can lean on each other. Perhaps we, with the support of each other, we can overcome them. That really is the proper way to be looking at the situation. Looking at the plank in your own eye and helping the person with the speck together, you can have clear vision again. So now we come to verse 6. Pardon me. Now we come to verse 6, and you think, what are we talking about, dogs and swine? Where this came completely, you know, out of left field. And what does this have to do with the first 5 verses? And if you look at verse 7, it doesn't apply to verse 7. So where is it? What is it doing? What is being said here? And so Jesus has been talking about how we regard judgment on each other. But remember, Jesus is also saying that there are times where we should judge others. But with this verse, he's laying some ground rules about our judging. The point is that we need to make proper godly evaluations and judgments of others. And so, verse 6, just to reread it, it says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." We are being warned to not waste our time on those who, after being told about the gospel, seem to have no interest in it or becoming a follower of Jesus. It's important that he's not saying that we shouldn't preach to these people in the first place. That's not a judgment we should be making. Oh, they're not going to be interested. But once we have approached them and we've started to talk to them about it, that's when we have to make this judgment whether to pursue or to continue speaking with them. If dogs and swine here are being representative of people, then Jesus is telling his disciples to make a judgment to determine a person's status towards that message. Dogs and swine in nature care nothing about the gospel of Christ. And so, in fact, trying to do something good for a stray dog, we don't necessarily have stray swine, but, you know, if you try to help a stray dog, they may not understand what you're trying to do, and they may be very vicious towards you. They may turn on you even though you're trying to help them. And so a person who we determine to be either a dog or a swine in this context would be one who makes it clear that their desires are for things on this earth, not things of a heavenly nature. And they are set on gratifying their desires here and now and not looking to build a foundation on the home that awaits them in heaven. And so the gospel message here is being depicted as pearls, something very precious that you would not want to throw. A dog doesn't wear pearls or jewelry, or a swine doesn't do the same. And so we wouldn't throw pearls or give them to a dog or a swine and conclude that, well, they've been helped. That dog was hungry, I threw him some pearls, and think that they have been satisfied. But if we try to teach the gospel to those that have no interest in it, well, then that's the same thing. That those pearls have value. The gospel message has value. If these people don't have any interest in receiving it, there are others to whom we can direct our attention. And so the spiritual person views the gospel as being more precious than gold and silver and valuable, and we are not to waste our time to continue on the dogs and swine who care nothing about the spiritual message. Proverbs 23, verse 9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words." And the Apostle Paul practiced this in his spreading of the gospel. In Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, he says, "The next Sabbath, almost the whole city," well, Luke says, "the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles.'" And so at some point we have to make a determination on when our efforts on spreading the gospel have just become unfruitful. We have to realize that there's no point to continue with someone that just is not interested. And so at that point, our efforts in that endeavor are really in vain. And you said what has needed to be said. And so don't continue to cast the pearls of the gospel to that person. There are others to whom you can do so. And so in conclusion, just we have to be very careful that we don't become self-righteous or arrogant in our own spirituality, that we justify and make excuses for what we're doing to the point where we are not able to help others because we become very hypocritical in their eyes. And though this should be the nature of our teaching and preaching, we are able to say these important words that you know, the gospel message, and we should be able to say that to others because we have a good foundation in our own lives and we're applying it to ourselves, and then we can go and apply it to others. But it doesn't mean that we should make spiritual judgment based upon our own misconceptions, our own biases either. And so we have to be very clear about what it is that we are doing. We know that there are people who are not going to listen. And actually, that message we're going to talk a little bit about a little later this morning. But we know there are people who don't want to hear it. And I think we all know that lesson. And so we have to be able to look at those people and literally shake the dust off our feet and move on to the next person. Brother Barth has the prayer. And after that prayer, we'll have a short break, and then Mike will have our class.